This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Bodie at first base. Bush represents the tying run at the plate. 1-2 the count. Crowd making a lot of noise. Alvarado, the big lefty, is ready. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Got him with a cutter. And Philadelphia wins. The Phillies take the first two games of this series, winning game two tonight, 5-3 over the Cubs.
Steve Rosenbloom.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Big thanks to Zach Zaidman making us all depressed. Could you make him a home run, Zach? Zach Zaidman on the Cubs broadcast, heard right here on The Score last night as they lost to the Phillies. He was on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network calling that game at the end. So welcome back. I keep wanting to say Saturday suckage because it's so appropriate.
It is. It's on a it's just on a Thursday, though.
It's baseball suckage season here. If we're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. He's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenbloom.
If it's a federal holiday, we're here for you.
We are.
That's part of our thing.
Federal outlaws. We're going to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Welcoming back to the Score airwaves. He wrote about Kyle Schwarber today, the feel good, the big hug, which just opened up all kinds of scars and how wrong Jed has been in so many different areas. He's Paul Sullivan of the Tribune writing the In Wake of the News sports column. Sully, thanks for joining us on this glorious holiday, America's Independence Day.
Yeah, maybe the last one.
All righty then. Yeah, he went off like a
and
Roman
we're off.
Candle.
There you go.
We're running.
Good morning.
So last week, I was just talking about this, and it just makes me angry at the stupid things people say. But Jed Hoyer is talking about, well, we got veteran contracts, and we got young kids, we want them in the lineup, and there's not a lot of wiggle room. Isn't his job to make wiggle room and make this team better? Like, this guy was there when they traded Nomar Garciaparra from the Red Sox. There's no bigger name you could have pulled out of that dressing room. How could he be wrong about anything at this point to make a move and make this team better? Aren't you angry about this?
No, I don't really get angry.
Come on, I'm frustrated. Join me.
No, I don't really care. I think what he was probably just trying to say that, it is the kind of team where you do have half the players are veterans or signed to multi-year deals. And then a lot of the, you know, half of the lineup is guys that are like transitioning young guys into the roles. You got Bush and Morrell and Pete Crow. And so I don't think those are the kind of guys that he's going to trade. I don't think you can trade Dansby. I don't know if there's much of a market for Hap. Bellinger is going to be difficult because, you know, he's got the opt-out and you're not going to get much back for him because teams might, you know, just be getting him for half season or 2 months of a season. So I think that's what he was trying to say. I don't know if it came out the right way, but I do understand what he was trying to say. But on the other hand, you're right. You know, you're the president of the team. It's your job to fix this. And there's a lot of fixing that needs to be done.
Well, and Sully, if they are to actually try to trade these guys, I mean, it's the opposite of what you want, right? I mean, you're trading, you're selling low. These guys all had good years last year. Not all, but you know, most of them had good years. They were contending, a contending team, contending players. And this year, they have collectively been bad.
Yeah, like Hoyer or like Council said on Parkins and Spiegel yesterday, that you know, none of these guys having All Star years in the lineup. The only All Star probability is Shota. So you're going to be selling low on all of them if you do get rid of them. And the young kids, I mean, they're not going to get rid of Pete Crow. They're not going to get rid of Bush. I didn't know it. Probably no market for Amaya. So, you know, Morrell, you might get something because he does have the power. And he's got, you know, he's got some potential, but his fielding hasn't been there. He doesn't really have a position still. He hasn't proven himself at third. So, yeah, there's a lot of problems here. And, it's, you know, you just keep thinking that they're going to come out of it, but, you know, it just keeps getting worse.
It just keeps getting worse. We're going to get the obvious shirts guys on that. Paul Sullivan's going to get a cut of it. That way you can have more drinks.
Getting worse.
You can have more. Yeah, it just keeps getting worse. That should be on a T-shirt. Obvious shirts guys will get on it, and you'll be.
And yet it's sold out every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, or not sold out, but it's.
Sure,
it's
you'll get
it. Packed last night.
And then of course it is. That's, you know, it's the same idea with the Bulls. The Bulls do the same thing. It's like, hey, we're not really good. We kind of suck. We're faking like we're trying to be good, but you know, the Cubs don't want to pay for power in a power game. The Bulls don't want to pay for 3-point shooting and in a 3-point shooting league. But hey, you people keep showing up. Here's our breads and circuses, and here's your beer. And what would be the first thing you do to make these Cubs different, better? Just sometimes just pulling a guy out of the dressing room. We've removed a guy. You say you like each other and kumbaya and all that, but you suck as baseball team. We break up baseball team and we're going to pull guy A out of the dressing room to make a statement. Who would you do that to?
Well, that's hard to say because they are. It is really a bunch of good guys. There's no real jerks on this team. Like, but you know, it's not like the 2004 Cubs where most of them were jerks. But you know, honestly, if you had to do something, I would think Hap and Saya would be the two guys because you have some Canario and Casey in the outfield in the minors that look like, you know, they could. But potentially, you know, fill in there. So I would start with those guys. If you could get something for Bellinger and you don't think that, you know, if you think he might opt out after this year, then definitely shop him. I don't think Dansby's going anywhere. I don't know if you want to give up on Nico yet. He's not having a great year, but he's certainly one of the leaders of the team, probably part of the core for the future. Definitely catcher. Amaya hasn't shown much. They got this kid in the AAA now, Ballesteros, Moisy Ballesteros, who's going to be in the futures game. I'd like to see what he can do, bring him up. The rotation's pretty good. The bullpen's, you know, messed up. Definitely if you could get something for Neris, that would be certainly near the top, if not at the top of my list. So yeah, there are things they can do.
Sully, to more positive topics, and unfortunately it's the opposite team, but Kyle Schwarber coming back to Wrigley Field. You wrote about him this morning, and I know the fans welcome him back every time with open arms. You know, the cheers are loud every time, and he is a guy who, he is one of the only guys that 2016 World Series team that has found great success afterwards.
Yeah, it's true. That's one thing Jed does have going for him is that all those guys that he traded away, none of them really came back to haunt him. On the other hand, none of the guys that he got in return has really, you know, proven to be some kind of a star. The thing with Schwarber, the reason I wrote about him, not only just because I like him and I hadn't seen him in a couple of years and it was always good to catch up with him, was that he was really the first move of Jed's presidency when he took over for Theo, first big move at least, when he decided to non-tender him instead of, you know, waiting and seeing if they could trade him. I mean, you just gave up on a guy that could hit 40 home runs because he did have a bad year in 2020, which a lot of the players did in the pandemic shortened season. So I understand that part of it. But, you know, it wasn't like he was going to break the bank. He was going to make $8, $9, $10 million. He wound up making $10 million with Washington in a 1-year deal. And, you know, he's taken off since then. He's a star player. He's, you know, a national player. He's beloved in Philly, you know, 40 home run guy every year, one of the leaders on that team. And it was just, you know, it was just a bad move. It was his first big move, and it was really one that turned out to be awful. And, you know, I mean, you can say whatever you want about Rizzo and Baez and Bryant, but none of them have really performed well on the whole since they left. But Schwarber is the one guy that's really proven to be a star.
And I know he says all the right things about Chicago, and I know the affection is genuine, but he really has found a home in Philly, and I know the fans there have totally embraced him too.
Oh, totally. I mean, he's just a likable guy, you know. The whole family background, you know, helping out with the police, his dad was a cop, just the whole, you know, Schwarber's just a very blue collar, lovable guy, and watching him come up, and you know, you forget that he had some tough times too. Remember, they sent him back to the minors. He'd already established himself with the Cubs and had a bad first month. I think Madden made him leadoff guy, and at the time it didn't work out. They sent him to AAA, and he took it, and he did it well, and he came back. And so he's gone through some tough times and come back, and you know, he's the kind of guy that Cub fans really like to see. And it's just too bad he's not playing, because I think he'd get a nice ovation. And we were talking about the Baez and Rizzo, and when they come back the second half, that's going to be a pretty emotional for those two guys probably.
Our guest is Paul Sullivan, writes the In the Wake of the News column for the Chicago Tribune. We're talking baseball here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito. And boy, that's a hell of a December Jed had when being in charge, right? Non-tender Schwarber, and then quit on the 2021 season by dumping Yu Darvish, your Cy Young contender.
Yeah, well, that was all, to me, you know, that was all salary and money. I remember Ricketts came up with the whole line about having biblical losses during the pandemic, and, you know, had to cut back. They just got rid of a ton of people and, you know, just in the baseball and business operations departments that nobody knows their names, but, you know, it wasn't easy for them. And then getting rid of Yu Darvish, their best pitcher, for a bunch of prospects, and none of which is yet to, you know, play for the Cubs, much less become stars yet. And that was like, you know, 2021, so that's been a while. So, yeah, that was the beginning of the end. You know, you would have thought by now this was really a big year for them, and they brought in counsel. He was supposed to win with them. He even admitted that. He said, you know, we've got to win. We've got to go to the playoffs, and doesn't look like that's going to happen.
What has Jed Hoyer won without Theo?
Well, nothing yet.
Okay.
They haven't gone to the playoffs. He had a couple. He may have at least one good season in San Diego. I don't know if they went to the playoffs though. But I don't blame this all on Jed. I think, he is the president, so he's going to take the bulk of the blame. But I mean, Dansby Swanson, you give him that money. He was a good player in Atlanta. He's not doing it. Cody Bellinger, you know, he wanted the big deal in the off season. He didn't get it. He got a short-term deal, and everyone said, oh, well, Jed beat, including myself, said, oh, Jed beat Boris. What an upset that was. And, you know, that hasn't turned out so well either. He's okay, but he's not the Bellinger of last year. So, you know, you can't just say it's all on Jed. Some of these players were expected to do a lot more than they've done.
Right, players fail. So, but let's talk about the team on the other side of town, the White Sox, who are in a better position than the Cubs, better position than a team that was supposed to win and compete and contend and all that kind of stuff. They got more trade bait. So Eric Fetty looked like he's making his case to get out of town. They all want to make their case to get out of town, except Garrett Crochet. He's made an AL Pitcher of the Month, and he's doesn't want to leave town, but they want him to leave town. Where are they? Where? Who goes? When do they go? How would you do it, Sully?
Oh, my God. Well, that would take a long time. But, you know, you want to talk from bad to worse, the White Sox. That's, I mean, it's just a nightmare there. Fetty has had a good year and should get some decent players in return. You've got to trade him, I would think. Crochet, I don't know. I personally would keep him, but and he sounds like, you know, when I've talked to him, he said he wants to stay in the organization. I tried to explain to him the history of the White Sox and pitchers and how they never pay them, but he wasn't deterred from that. So if you have a guy that wants to stay in this organization the way it is, then I would think you would go out of your way to try and keep him. The fans love him, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Luis Robert, I would have no problem trading him. I thought that play the other night was just indicative of the Luis Robert that's just so head-scratching. He's got so much talent. You catch a fly ball at the end of the game, and you don't even make an attempt to throw the guy out at the plate.
Bizarre.
It was just awful. So,
he made a great diving catch yesterday.
Yeah, the sack fly thing, though, player. Sully, I saw that. I'm like, how do you not even attempt to throw?
And where's your manager to discipline you?
Well, he said he was flat-footed or something. Well, yeah, you're flat-footed because you did not approach the ball the correct way.
Right.
It was very high in the air, and you could have kind of come in on it and done it the way most center fielders do it. It's just stuff like that. It's infuriating, and so I wouldn't have any problem if they traded Luis. You know, if you can trade Eloy, definitely. I mean, I think everyone's pretty tired of that whole scenario.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and Pham is the only one who's really come out and said, you know, trade me. But, you know, after his hot start, he's been okay, but he hasn't been the Pham that he was, in May. So you're not going to get a whole lot for him.
No,
and
that was, Crochet, that was, no, that's you know, the guy. That's the guy.
I mean, Kopech, too. I mean, you got to think right. about trading him. So.
Well, I think the tides are turning now, Sully. You had the Martin Maldonado game last night. So, I mean, all is well. All is well on the south side.
He's almost up to 100. I think that's going to be maybe tonight some fireworks should be let off if he does get to 100 today.
Right.
No, I guess it's a day game.
alert Cooperstown will send the bat. Yeah. And his OPS is a robust 304. So, yeah, it's all happening. Everything is everything. Sully, appreciate your time.
I do remember, let me just say this, when Royce Clayton went over 100 at Sox Park and they gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Enchanted MVP. So.
I forgot about that. Old friend. Royce Clayton.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, okay, guys.
Thanks, Sully. Have a wonderful
Happy
holiday.
Fourth, Sully.
Oh, you too. Remember, it's only going to get worse.
There we go. There's the obvious shirt. It's only going to get worse. Paul Sullivan.
Thanks, Sully.
Here he is. Paul Sullivan, Chicago Tribune. We've been talking a lot of baseball. I have a Bears item.
Bears.
It's a head scratcher for me.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So maybe you can help me figure this out.
We shall, and I will also remind you that this afternoon the Cubs and Phillies wrap up their series at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage with Zach at 12:45. First pitch, Pat and Ron at 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
That radio reader is Mike Esposito. I am the luminescent Steve Rosenblum. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a Bears... It's about their win totals, and I just don't understand it. Maybe you can help. 312-644-6767. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The Bears. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm pleased and happy to repeat the news that we have, in fact, caught and killed a large predator that supposedly injured some bathers. But as you see, it's a beautiful day, the beaches are open, and the people are having a wonderful time. Amity, as you know, means friendship.
There it is. There's your blockbuster, your summer blockbuster, the first in 1976, Bruce the Shark. You only saw him like five times in that movie.
He has a name? Bruce?
Bruce.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, it was Bruce the Shark. Have you ever took the Universal Studios tour?
I have not.
They have the pond that served as the, where Bruce's home was. Often, or in the early days when they had Jaws on the Universal Studios tour, Bruce was broke. Bruce the Shark was broke.
But alrighty. Yeah,
he named him Bruce. And they would often break. The mechanical shark would often break, which led to, legend would tell you, the judicious use of the shark in the movie. Because you only saw Bruce about five times. If you go on screen and count, if you watch it and count it, you really only saw.
It was more than the fear.
Exactly.
Of Bruce.
Right. And that fear is what the whole movie played on. You heard the mayor.
You heard, dun, dun,
you heard yeah, the mayor yeah. say, yeah, the predator has been caught. And the music added to John Williams' spectacular score.
Was that his first? And
yes.
Forgive my lack of, but that was, I know it was Spielberg's first huge hit.
And
it was also Bruce, John Williams'
Bruce
first
Bruce the Shark
big score.
Was broken and they only yes. used him like five times and that was where it was. And it was the music added to the fear of sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing an interview with Richard Dreyfuss a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, so, because he was Mr. Hoopa.
Yeah.
You, are you afraid of sharks? Do you have a fear? Has it grown in the, and he says, when Stephen and I go to the beach, we just stand right up there at the bear on the stand, and we just sort of reach in and throw some water on ourselves, and we're good. That's it. We're good. So that was a summer blockbuster. Here we are on the 4th of July. So it's because of Cubs, your last place Cubs, your last place Sox. The Bulls are getting younger. The Blackhawks are getting older. The Bears are your hope. I mean, arguably, the Bears are closer to a championship than any team in this town, right?
They absolutely are.
Okay. So I don't know if you've ever heard Jay Cornegay. He is right now he runs the Superbook. He's the odds maker Superbook. He used to be the Las Vegas Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to him a lot in past years and all the writing and odds and totals and why this and why that. And I cannot figure this out. Maybe you can help me. He has the Bears as favorites in nine games. Like you can bet the future stuff, right?
Yep.
So the lines are out. Bears are favored in nine games. The guy who sets the line said they're favored in nine games and I don't think they're going to make it. This is a team that won seven games last year with mm-hmm. a quarterback who can't play in the NFL. I'm sorry. He can't play quarterback in the NFL. They won seven games last year.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying
and
that
he's not back. He's replaced by the number one pick in the draft. He said, we have it. This is in the Sun-Times a couple of weeks ago. I clipped it and I gave myself time to understand it and I don't. So we have so many people picking the Bears for 10, 11. Vegas has them for nine.
And he says so essentially they're favored, but I'm taking the unders. What he's saying.
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
He is. And there's a barometer that whatever. The rudimentary barometer is the win total, the favorite. If you're favored in games, that's your those will give you your actual wins. Doesn't always happen, but mm-hmm. Vegas gets paid to be right.
Yeah,
right. Vegas gets a lot of they lose a lot of money if Vegas is wrong.
Right.
Right? So here's what, in using that rule of thumb, Jay Cornegay's Superbook had the Bears favored seven times. And Chicago won seven games.
Mm-hmm.
Two seasons ago, it was favored twice. Those Bears. And they won three games.
Yeah, right.
And it would have been only two if Roquan Smith hadn't shown up at all.
Mm-hmm.
He almost ruined the Bears season that Lovie Smith had to save. Roquan Smith. The game against Houston. Don't make that interception. And by the way, that's one of Justin Fields' comeback wins. Two kneel downs after the Roquan Smith interception.
There you go.
In 21, the Superbook, Jay Cornegay's Superbook, had the Bears at four wins and they won six. Look how they overachieved. But here's the thing here's a quote from Jay Cornegay. The odds maker at the Superbook, he thinks the Bears' skill players, what have we been talking about all offseason?
Skill players.
Such as, let's start with Keenan Allen. Here's your Hall of Fame.
Keenan Allen.
Uh-huh.
DJ Moore.
Uh-huh. The number nine pick.
DeAndre Swift.
Yep. A better running back than they've had. Right?
Yep.
They have depth at tight end.
Yep.
And at tight end, you can look it up. Cole Kmet is a top 10 tight end.
Yep.
Jay Cornegay says the Bears skill players are average. This is an odds maker who gets paid to know this stuff because it costs a lot of money. It's not you and I being wrong on the radio. He pays in dollars if he's wrong. Quote, I just can't see that happening. There will be a lot of eyes on rookie quarterback Caleb Williams. It'll be interesting to see how that pressure affects him. Plus, their playmakers are just average to below average.
What?
Quote continues from Jay Cornegay, the odds maker at the Superbook. Somehow they find ways to underperform up there.
Well, Bears, I mean, yes, we know that.
Especially a quarterback. And it's more than just quarterback, he says. Whole units need to perform better. The Bears will be a below average team.
DJ Moore had 96 catches, 1,364 yards.
Career best, correct?
Eight touchdowns, career best. He'll get 1,000 yards in his sleep. I mean, if he just stays healthy, if he plays, even if he plays 14 or 15 games, he's going to get 1,000 yards easy. Keenan Allen, who I agree has had injury issues, but he had a record year last year. He had, for him, a personal best, 108 catches, 1,243 yards, and seven touchdowns. And that was missing, I want to say, three games at the end of the season. How was any of that? Those are two of the top, pick your number, 15?
Sure.
Yeah, wide receivers. That's scary that you and I threw 15 out at the same time, right?
Psych.
So, okay. But that's,
I wanna,
how was that average?
I wanted to go player by player of the skill players. He says they're average to below average because they underperform as whole groups. It's not just one guy. It's whole units he's talking about. The Superbook odds maker. So, DeAndre Swift. This guy ranked fifth in running back yards behind Christian McCaffrey. Good.
Really good.
Derrick Henry. Tough to tackle.
Yep.
Kyren Williams, the Rams, and James Cook of the Bills. DeAndre Swift had 1,049 yards and five TDs. He averaged 4.6 yards, which seems good, but it's only 123rd in the league. I didn't know that. And it's a weird way I copied that wrong. Maybe it was 20. Okay.
He's certainly an upgrade over anything you had on this team last year.
Right. Okay.
He is a RB1.
DJ Moore. Pro Football Focus, for whatever you think of them, and I think they have real issues grading offensive lines, and recently they graded the Bears secondary as 19th. The 19th best secondary. Well, the secondary is a function of the defensive line. And right now the defensive line is Montez Sweat and five guys named Ulf. But but that's better than what it started off as.
Oh,
and that, okay.
For sure.
But DJ Moore, Pro Football Focus ranked him third against man coverage behind CeeDee Lamb and Nico Collins. Collins did it with a rookie quarterback, you should know.
CJ Stroud, yes. Oh.
Now, that was a rookie who showed he belonged at the position. Moore did it without a quarterback. Moore did it with a player who showed he shouldn't play that position.
Right.
DJ Moore did that. And DJ Moore is part of this group that the skill players are average to below average, according to this odds maker. I don't get Keenan Allen, as you talked about earlier. He was the Pro Football Focus ranks the Bears as the fourth best receiving core in the league behind 49ers.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Dolphins.
Yeah.
And Eagles.
Okay.
Bears ranked 32nd last year at this time. Sucking. What am I missing here? What are we all missing here?
I don't get this. Listen, last year, I get it. It was DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and that was about it, right? I mean, but this year, you signed or you traded for Allen. You drafted Adunze. You have DJ Moore back. You have Kmet back. Gerald Everett is a quality tight end, pass-catching tight end. He was with the Chargers last year. He's absolutely an upgrade and a weapon on that offense. You signed Swift in free agency about 2 seconds after free agency started, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to catch passes. He's going to run the ball. He's better than any running back you had last year. Caleb Williams is better than any quarterback you had last year, and he was the number one pick in the draft, and everyone's been saying for how many years how great he's going to be.
I don't find any way that he could be worse than Justin Fields. And Justin Fields can't play quarterback in this league. I mean, did you see the stuff out of Pittsburgh's OTAs?
I have not.
He was, some of those, one of them, he was throwing late against air. Like, guy's coming out of his break and he still hasn't released the ball. There's no defensive back there. The window is everything. The window is all there. It's all big window.
Mm-hmm.
And he's throwing late against air. So you now have a quarterback who can do actually play the position. Or certainly is a threat to play the position more than Justin Fields is. He was a run. And they won 7 games with Justin Fields as your starting quarterback. And yet, when the guy who runs the Superbook says, I got him favored in 9 games right now, but they're not gonna win 9 games. And he doesn't like the skill players. Because Vegas is right a lot. Vegas knows
they're supposed to be right. As you said, they lose money if they're wrong, right?
So. Right. They build Eiffel Towers on the strip because they're right. They know what they're doing. They number one rule in life, follow the money. It's all in Vegas. So what are we missing here? What are all the injuries? Certainly that would be the first thing that would come up.
I also get they've got a ton of new pieces. They have a rookie quarterback. So even though we may favor them to win these games, I don't think it's going to happen. And I would go, under that 9 if I'm betting the Bears in the season total. I can get that, right? You've got a rookie quarterback. You never know. He doesn't think that, even though they, on paper, would be favored in those games, he doesn't think it's going to happen. That's the only way that makes any sense to me.
Well, he can't be worse than Justin Fields, and he won 7 games. And Justin Fields' supporting cast wasn't this good. Keenan Williams walking into a better situation.
A great situation.
Keenan Allen is an upgrade over Darnell Mooney. Thank you, Captain Obvious. I'm just
right.
Okay, and Cole Kmet keeps getting better. That's an excellent deal Ryan Poles made, and Cole Kmet did himself well. And DJ Moore,
Unless I'm missing something. No, I don't think so. Unless I was just going to say, unless I'm missing something, I don't expect DJ Moore to have a regression.
So let's look at what could make, how great of an effect would a crappy Caleb Williams or crappy quarterback performance be? He's going to fumble. Caleb Williams has a fumbling problem. So did Justin Fields. Justin Fields was a ball security nightmare. Fumbles and interceptions. Caleb Williams will endure that as well.
And I know the one of the negatives on Fields is that he holds the ball too long. And you just mentioned he was late and against air in his training camp or his OTA sessions there. Yeah, I am perplexed as to how they are saying that the Bears skill position players are below average. That
they to all me seem is, like improving. Okay, so let's.
Yes.
What else could make it work? Let's the offensive line.
Okay, sure.
But let's go the greatest battle on the Bears offense is going to be in training camp. You can't get here soon enough.
Because
our last place Cubs and our last place Sox have made us all suicidal.
Is it time for Platteville / Bourbonnais / training God. Camp?
Ooh, the hoist house, or as Terry used to call it, the moist house. So the greatest battle will be center. Of all the questions, center.
Mm-hmm.
Who's it going to be? And the next couple questions will be about the health. Do you trust Nate to show up? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to show up? Is he going to play? Nate, you want to play some football? Nate, you good enough to play football? Tevin, where are you? What are you going to do? So you got Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright looks like a fixture.
Yes.
On the right side.
Agreed.
Braxton Jones, they did not seem to bring in any. There's no competition there. And the third round pick, I think it's a little much to ask this guy to suddenly come back from what he had to have sewn up and start. So I don't see that happening. Tevin Jenkins just seems like you're a snap away from the next injury. And Nate Davis. So could that, but he's talking about the skill players. Not that the offensive line isn't a skill, but he's talking about the skill. Jay Cornegay, the Ozmaker, the guy who runs the Superbook in Vegas, says that both skill players are average to below average, and they won't win 9 games, even though he's got them favored in 9 games. So I'm trying to figure out how that happens.
An 847 texter wants to know, doesn't he know about our Australian super weapon?
Not all heroes wear capes. Some wear punching shoes.
Oh, goodness.
I'm trying to figure this out. I don't have an answer. I don't know why. It all looks better to us. Are we so used to seeing crap and somebody from afar, somebody out in the desert not seeing a mirage, can actually judge this better? But again, their whole idea is they get paid to be right.
I like to think after, and you know, for both of us, many years of doing this, and you kind of try to park your fandom wherever it may be and then just look objectively at this stuff. I get, you know, looking at your hometown stuff with rose-colored glasses. I don't think we're doing this at all. I think lots of people have said the exact same thing with what the Bears have done this offseason. I don't think that we're overvaluing. I mean, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and I mean, Roma Dunze, in some instances, people thought he might be the best receiver in the draft. Yeah. I mean, where are we? What are we missing?
Well, I don't know. Okay, we're going to take a break. We don't have an answer. We're going to take a break. We can come back. Joe Buck had one of the all-time great Hall of Fame induction speeches. I'm not familiar with this Hall of Fame into which he was inducted. Famous people were there. Good people were there. Kevin Fishbane was there. He was inducted too. Joe Buck, you're going to hear his induction speech or part of it, and you will enjoy it. I order you to enjoy it. Top of the hour, Julia Poe will talk some Bulls. She covers the Bulls for the Tribune. We'll try to figure out what and why and
how.
See, there's a team that will really suck. They want to. And it will really suck if Zach.
They really want to.
Zach
going
and Booch are part of it. It will suck more than anybody thought.
Oh, my goodness.
Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
Steve Rosenblum. Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Indeed, we are here. 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. We are here for Mullion Haw. We're here for you. That was Joe Buck calling the White Sox World Series ending play, game-winning play in 2005. We bring that back. It's, you know, when you have the last place White Sox, the worst team in baseball. But they improved to within 30 games of first place in the Martin Maldonado game last night.
Mark your calendars. July 3rd, the Maldonado game. Benintendi had two RBIs too, by the way.
See?
That's all, it. It's a turning point for
everything
the Sox.
Everything is everything. Joe Buck was inducted into the NSMA, the Sports Media Hall of Fame. NSMA is, it's a nonprofit organization, National Sports Media Association. Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. Our guy. He received an award or beat writer of the year. And I think it was presented by fellow Athletic Jason Stark, a Hall of Famer on his own. Joe Buck was inducted. And we wanted to bring you, oh, Espo hasn't heard this. So I want to bring to the class, I want to share with the class, Joe Buck's, part of his induction speech. Here it is.
Despite all the guilt that I've felt over all these years because of all the head starts I got, and man, I got all of them. I was a Nepo baby times 10, and I make no excuses for any of that. The best thing was my dad was my best friend, and there was none of that pushing or prodding or any of that. But I know that I'm lucky to be Jack and Carol Buck's son. But tonight, on this night, when I go into this Hall of Fame in front of this crowd with the national winners, with the local winners, with the people who are in this business, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes to enjoy what I've done. You hear all the criticism. I'm sure there are critics in this room. Oh, you hate my team. Oh, you blah, 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 blah. I don't hate any team. I hate some of the team's fans. Some of them are nasty. I don't care. I was in San Francisco. After a game, I'm packing up my stuff. McCarver's with me in the World Series. I don't know if it was 2010 or 2012. And this guy's like, hey, Joe, look down here. I'm like packing up my stuff. Then this little kid's voice, Mr. Buck, look down, Mr. Buck. I mean, the whole place is empty. And I'm like, all right, I look down. And this little kid goes...
Joe mimics giving the kid giving him the finger.
I'd like to say f*** you to that kid right now.
Joe Buck!
Ah, that's great.
Joe Buck unplugged, and it's a wonderful thing. That's it. The little kid, look down at you, little kid, because... Give the kid a baseball, right? Give the ball to a kid, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Little kid's voice. He wasn't listening to the adult. He was
sure.
Little kid.
Wouldn't have looked for the adult. Looked for the kid. And the kid gives him the finger.
The kid's flipping him off. And so he takes the opportunity to tell the kid, go bleep yourself. I am such a huge fan of Joe Buck.
I am a Buck fan as well. My kids... Ironically enough, my oldest son especially loves Joe Buck. Just from listening, he knows none of the, he's 15, 16, right? He knows none of the Jack Buck stuff.
The Nepo baby stuff.
He just knows that Joe Buck did the World Series for a lot of years and he makes great calls, right?
Right.
And I get it, like, and I was thinking as I was listening to that, in many industries, including this one, including football, baseball, playing or the working on teams, or you look now a lot of the football personnel and football coaching names. They look really familiar.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pick your name. And you know what? It's the same out in, you know, the real world too. If you're a plumber, if you're an attorney, if you're a whatever, guess what? Your kid's going to have a leg up in that industry. You know why? Because you have 30 or 40 years of experience in it.
Clout. We call it clout in Chicago.
This guy.
I got a guy. You got a guy.
Everyone's got guys.
We got guys. Yeah. You know? Ronnie's got a guy. Dad happens to be running the Lakers. There you go. All right, take a break. Speaking of running the Lakers, there was a thought that DeMar DeRozan could be running with the Lakers and Braun, but I don't. That does not appear to be a likelihood. We will see where he might go. Can Zach go anywhere? Maybe the Bulls could package. I tell you what, maybe the White Sox could make a team. They could trade Garrett Crochet, and you have to take Zach LaVine. How about that?
Your basketball team must take Zach LaVine.
We'll run that by Julia Poe of the Tribune. We'll talk some Bulls after this. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'd like to say F*** you to that kid right now. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series! Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
Steve Rosenblum. Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Indeed, we are here, 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. We are here for Mully and Haw. We are here for you. That was Joe Buck calling the White Sox World Series ending play, game-winning play in 2005. We bring that back. It's, you know, when you have the last place White Sox, the worst team in baseball. But they improved to within 30 games of first place in the Martin Maldonado game last night.
Mark your calendars. July 3rd, the Maldonado game. Benintendi had two RBIs too, by the way.
See?
That's all, it. It's a turning point for
everything
the Sox.
Everything is everything. Joe Buck was inducted into the NSMA, the Sports Media Hall of Fame. NSMA is a nonprofit organization, National Sports Media Association. Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic, our guy. He received an award or beat writer of the year. And I think it was presented by fellow Athletic Jason Stark, a Hall of Famer on his own. Joe Buck was inducted. And we wanted to bring you, oh, Espo hasn't heard this. So I want to bring to the class, I want to share with the class, Joe Buck's, part of his induction speech. Here it is.
Despite all the guilt that I've felt over all these years because of all the head starts I got, and man, I got all of them. I was a Nepo baby times 10, and I make no excuses for any of that. The best thing was my dad was my best friend, and there was none of that pushing or prodding or any of that. But I know that I'm lucky to be Jack and Carol Buck's son. But tonight, on this night, when I go into this Hall of Fame in front of this crowd with the national winners, with the local winners, with the people who are in this business, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes to enjoy what I've done. You hear all the criticism. I'm sure there are critics in this room. Oh, you hate my team. Oh, you blah, 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 blah. I don't hate any team. I hate some of the team's fans. Some of them are nasty. I don't care. I was in San Francisco after a game. I'm packing up my stuff. McCarver's with me in World Series. I don't know if it was 2010 or 2012. And this guy's like, hey, Joe, look down here. I'm like packing up my stuff. Then this little kid's voice, Mr. Buck, look down, Mr. Buck. I mean, the whole place is empty. And I'm like, all right, I look down. And this little kid goes,
Joe mimics giving the kid giving him the finger.
I'd like to say F- you to that kid right now.
Joe Buck!
Ah, that's great.
Joe Buck unplugged, and it's a wonderful thing. That's it. The little kid, look down at you, little kid, because give the kid a baseball, right? Give the ball to a kid, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Little kid's voice. He wasn't listening to the adult. He was
sure
little kid.
Wouldn't have looked for the adult. Looked for the kid. And the kid gives him the finger.
The kid's flipping him off. And so he takes the opportunity to tell the kid, go bleep yourself. I am such a huge fan of Joe Buck.
I am a Buck fan as well. My kids, ironically enough, my oldest son especially, loves Joe Buck. Just from listening, he knows none of the, he's 15, 16, right? He knows none of the Jack Buck stuff.
The Nepo baby stuff.
He just knows that Joe Buck did the World Series for a lot of years and he makes great calls, right?
Right.
And I get it. Like, and I was thinking as I was listening to that, in many industries, including this one, including football, baseball, playing or the working on teams, or you look now a lot of the football personnel and football coaching names, they look really familiar.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pick your name. And you know what? It's the same out in, you know, the real world too. If you're a plumber, if you're an attorney, if you're a whatever, guess what? Your kid's going to have a leg up in that industry. You know why? Because you have 30 or 40 years of experience in it.
Clout. We call it clout in Chicago.
This guy.
I got a guy. You got a guy.
Everyone's got guys.
We got guys. Yeah. You know? Ronnie's got a guy. Dad happens to be running the Lakers. There you go. All right. Take a break. Speaking of running the Lakers, there was a shot. There was a thought that DeMar DeRozan could be running with the Lakers and Braun, but I don't... That does not appear to be a likelihood. We will see where he might go. Can Zach go anywhere? Maybe the Bulls could package... I tell you what. Maybe the White Sox could make a team... They could trade Garrett Crochet, and you have to take Zach LaVine. How about that?
Your basketball team must take Zach LaVine.
We'll run that by Julia Poe of the Tribune. We'll talk some Bulls after this. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'd like to say f*** you to that kid right now.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.